The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Thank you. Are you ready, Steve? Andy? Yeah! Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, second day of December, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 20 points. The S&P is up 5. The comp is up 12. Gold is up $7. And the numbers in regards to the job situation were down, which is actually an up thing. But the markets are not really rallying on that. And I have no clue what's going on in Europe. No, I mean that, literally.
Yeah.
Not just today, but period. But today in particular, I keep scanning the news, and I'm sure there must be something that's contributing to this. First, before we get going, garble check, check, check.
It's check. Okay. It's not bad. Yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah, there was a little tiny bit of garble, but it's not going on right now.
Oh, my God.
You know, for what it's worth, in the 2.5-hour workshop that we had last night, you didn't garble at all.
I was on the telephone.
Oh, yeah, that's why. That's why. That's right. You mentioned that last night, too. Okay, well, the telephone, that's the key.
Yeah, but
it seems like anyway.
But I can't dial in on a telephone and do a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you're the guy with a computer built out of Lego blocks by your son that you can't load charts. You got memory issues. Oh my God, I have some of the finest equipment known to man, and I'm garbled. Okay, I'm joking about the Lego blocks, and but I'm not joking about me being garbled. I don't know. I give up. I'm going to another line of work. Maybe I can go sharpen Rush Limbaugh's pencils or something. I don't know.
well, maybe. You know, I think the garble check is good today. You're good. You're good. So you don't need to. Oh, so you don't need to go down that road yet.
So he changes his tune. I'm gonna quit. So he goes like, oh, no, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I like the garble.
You know, when I had the guys out and they put in the new modem and they did a couple things, one of which was so bizarre, they tuned the frequency on one of my DVRs. I said, no, guys, I'm talking about internet. That's my TV. See, there's a difference. You know, like there's cable guys and there's internet guys. Well, this company does it all. But he goes, we know that. But we're just telling you that this thing is messing with that thing. And I'm like, okay. So, and you know what? That guy was so helpful, too. Young guy. He was just really... You know how some people, you deal with some people and they, you know, they seem put out that you're there, that you're a customer, that you need help. You know that kind of situation. And then you have these other situations, whether it's in retail or in a service situation, whatever it might be, where, man, they got out of bed today because they wanted to please you and do a good job. Gosh, I just love working with those kind of people. You know, I want to be that kind of person. I really do. And this young man was just, he gave me his cell number. He said, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, but you know, here's it. And if you have any problems, you call me. I'll monitor you from home on my laptop. And gosh, for weeks, we didn't have a problem. And so now I guess it's time for me to take him up on his offer and call him and see if he can troubleshoot it again. It's a recurring problem. All right.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. You were all garbled.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, guys.
You say all that all over you?
See these two big white candles here on this Euro chart? We were white, by the way, is a potential change of trend. And you could say, like, boy, there's a whole lot of potential change here. Right. This is a very unstable situation. Very well defined by all these white candles. Because if we go back in time, and this chart won't let me go back far enough, we see extended swings of red and blue. Red bearish, blue bullish, white signaling a potential change of trend. I mean, this is unstable at its finest. So, we did have two warning candles, and then we've got this. I have no idea where we're going to go from here. Because I don't really know, other than what we already know, what brought that on. What I am most interested in today is on the hourly chart here. We have this little trend line. Yesterday was a very small range day. Let's go back. Let's see. Today's Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Here's Monday. Oh, I got to throw this tidbit out. If we close up, if the Dow can close up 210 points today, somebody out there, correct me if I get this number wrong, but I know I'm really close. And we were up, you know, considerably higher early on. But if the Dow could close up 210 points today, this week, folks, would mark, you ready for this? The largest single one-week point gain in history.
Oh.
Last week, we were sliding off the edge of the earth because of Europe. I love historical jokes. I said we were sliding off the edge of the earth because of Europe. Then all of a sudden this week, happy days are here again. And now think about that. We're up 31 points. If we can get up another 180? I know, it's a lot. But I'm just saying, if we get up another 180 points, this will be the single largest point gain in the history of the Dow in 1 week. So
that's significant. I'm surprised they're not marching it right up there.
Well, you know, so am I. Especially with the president out making a speech because he's finally managed to create jobs and bring down unemployment. And you know what? Off this trend line here, we came down and touched this thing in the last hour. And look how far we've bounced.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that into a time frame where we can actually see how far we've bounced. Not that much. quite frankly, 5 points. Now, this was the area right here, guys, going into the break. From for those of you that were part of the live training room this morning, we talked about selling on a stop right in this area here, okay, below this low. I think the number I threw out was below 1250.50, and so that gave up a little something, okay. But now we're right back to that same area. So if we break up, you know, that's the deal. But if we come down, this thing, I don't know, we're going to wait and see. I'm not going to try to predict it. I'm just going to watch it. And if a trade comes along, we'll trade it accordingly while Michael's doing the recap. And with that, Michael, let me just go ahead and turn it over to you so you can get busy and tell them what they've won.
All right. I will I'll grab the charts and... I actually did take a trade during the break here that made a little bit of profit. It actually went to the 2-point profit target, and it didn't fill me there, and then it came back and got me a plus 1 point. I'll show you that, okay? But for everyone that was in the live trading room this morning, we had a break-even trade, unfortunately. All right, so let me just get rid of here. I'll just... position things, and it's not letting me do that. All right, I'm going to start the recording, and then we'll just go through it all. Today is Friday, December 2nd. All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, December 2nd, 2011. I am just going to go over all of the information that we went through this morning in the live trading room. Unfortunately, there's not much to do because we didn't have many trades. We attempted to get long a couple times. We attempted to get short a couple times. We finally did get short once, but I'll go through it all anyway. Right here, we weren't able to take this trade right here. We did have a bubble, and we did have a pullback to the BBC, but we weren't able to take the trade because we had this area right in here. Dave N., who was in the room this morning, I'm sorry I didn't respond to your question this morning about what I was talking about when I said area. When I say area, I mean if you have, if you're looking to go long and you have lower highs created by lower pivots, you don't want to take that trade in most cases. I mean, it would have worked out just fine this morning, but in most cases, you don't want to take that trade, not from the 4-tick range chart. Anyway, so we weren't able to take that trade there. We got up here into the prior week zones. We explained how to trade those, the prior week zones, how to go short up there. I don't know how many people did. I don't know if anybody did. But we explained how to short up here from 1259 and 1260. The 1261 never would have filled. The 1259 would have filled and dropped, whatever that is, 13 points. This was the one trade that we did manage to take. This was a George trade. We had 3 ticks outside the box. It pulled back up to the BBC. We shorted it here. It gave us 5 ticks. We moved our stop to break even and ended up getting out here at break even right before this big drop. A bunch of the guys, you know, a bunch of the partners in the live trading room did get that trade, and they did get their 2 or 3 points out of it, whatever they were looking for. Now, that trade lined up with the BBC at the time. If you look at, let me scroll back to 1052, right in here. It lined up with the BBC here on the 10K. It also lined up with the BBC on the 2100 tick. All right, let me bring that up a little higher. It was 1052, so it was right back here, right in here. All right, it also lined up with the BBC over here. So that was, it was a good trade. The one thing that didn't have going for it was the DMT envelope was not straddling the 20. Nevertheless, we got out of the trade at break-even. A bunch of people did get their 2 points out of that trade, and it went well for them. We didn't have any other trades this morning until the break period. Right here, we had a nice pullback up to the BBC. Again, the BBC here matched up with the BBC. Let me scroll over. The BBC here on the 10K and the BBC here on the 2100. Let me bring this up a little higher. You can see right here. All right, so we had the same trade signal from 3 different time frames. I took the short there, and It went down to my 2-point profit target, but it didn't fill me. My profit target was right here. It didn't fill me there. I had moved my stop up to break, to a plus 1 point. And you can see that's what I got out of that, was plus a point for 3 contracts. Since then, it's just gone kind of sideways here. And that was it. I want to show you one trade here on the 2100 tick. As we opened up this morning, we didn't have trades on any other time frames, but we did have one right there. That was a perfect setup for the Mike R trade. The cycle was down below the 50. We had a little bit of a straddle here on the 20. We had a straddle on the 10K. The BBC was in the same spot on the 10K. The only thing that kept me from taking that is I was taking trades at that time from the 4-tick range, and the 4-tick range had disqualified the short trade at that level because of this area right in here. All right, it did end up pulling back to the BBC, went through it a little bit, and then it gave up the nice short if you wanted to take that. That was it for the ES, really. You know, there were other short trades in here on the 2100 tick. I won't get into those right now. There was one trade here on the YM that we missed. We had the bearish cross right here with the first pullback up to the BBC. Right there was the spot to enter it, and we missed that trade. It had already gone. The window of opportunity was from the BBC to the MA1. It had already filled that window by the time we entered the trade, so we did not take any trades over there this morning. I mean, you can see that one. The entry should have been up here at 12114, and it dropped all the way down to 12020, so that's, what, 96 points. It was a nice drop. If you got the opportunity, if you took the opportunity. There was also a divergence trade right here. Brent, you had asked me earlier in the live trading room if this was a divergence trade setting up here on the YM, and it was. It was actually a perfect one because it closed right below the MA1. So you would have been shorting right there with about 7 ticks risk and been able to get into that and taking a nice move down on that. That's it. That pretty much wraps it up for us. So I took this trade. This was during the break. It wasn't during the live trading session this morning. Hopefully our partners saw the trade, and they did take the same trade and got their profit out of it. Beyond that, we didn't have any profit or any loss this morning in the live trading room. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with that. There we go. Wow, we are way early today, Twin. Way early. So early, he must still be getting coffee. Does anyone have any questions? Nice.
No, I'm ready.
Does anyone have any questions? guessing no.
Hey, Clive, I just sent you a link. Hope you get it. And who's that other fellow I just sent a link to or requested help for? Richard, if there's anyone out there, because we do have some new people, if you're in radio land, in other words, you're at the CFRN website, you click the Listen Now button, and you're hearing voices, but you're not seeing charts, what you need to do is go under the radio tower and click. Michael, can you show them?
Yes. Well, I can.
It won't do any good because they can't see it.
They can't see it.
All right, on the home page or any page, just find the radio tower on the right-hand side where you clicked click here. And then look just below that, and there's another place to click that says if you want to actually participate in the discussion and see the charts, click here. See, we stream 24/7. You can come to CFRN any day of the week, listen to great programming. We're live every day from 12 noon Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern, roughly. This is the show of indeterminate length. So some days it's an hour and a half, some days it's 3 hours. We shoot for 2. Now, once you register, you're going to click. It's going to take you to a page with 3 very handsome men and a big microphone. All right. Down there it says to watch, click here. You're going to click that. It's going to grind you through the silly registration process. Okay? You only have to do that once a week. Now, because today's Friday, you're going to have to do it. to get in here and see the charts, participate in the discussion, ask questions, etc. On Monday, you'll have to register again. But the good news is, when you register on Monday, your registration will then be good for the entire week. So what will happen is each day next week, you'll get a little email right before the show that says, hey, the show's about to start. Click here to join. And you just click and join. So I don't want you to think you got to grind through that registration every day. It's just because if you're signing up for the first time on a Friday, you're going to sign up again on Monday, but then you're good for the whole week. All right? So we do our best to inconvenience you as little as possible. All right. Well, Michael, on the 10K, that thing really looked like it wanted to drop on that pullback there to the BBC. Now, that was a pretty good fake out. It even put a little doji in right there. However, it dojied at the MA1 red line.
Right,
then it dojied at the BBC. And now it looks like we're going to break to the upside. And we're bouncing well off of that trend line that I had shown on the hourly chart. Just keep in mind, guys, the incentive that they have, whoever they are, okay? The guys, the boys, the men in black, the plunge protectors, you know, whoever you fancy to be they have a vested interest in seeing this thing close up 210 points today so that they can all go on TV or on their websites or wherever and go, oh, man, it's the best week in history. I mean, how many politicians getting ready to run for office can, well, actually, there's only one that can take credit for it as part of his platform and his campaign. But, boy, that's an opportunity you would not... Michael, if you were the current sitting president and you were going to be... You were facing an election, would you maybe go buy some E-mini futures or whatever it takes, some stocks to get this thing up 210 points so you could then go on Face the Nation this weekend and go, yep, got an unemployment down to 8%, biggest week in history on the Dow. I mean, that's a pretty great... I might even vote for that guy if I didn't know some of the other mitigating circumstances surrounding it.
You know, I would do it in a second if it, you know, especially if I didn't have to put up any of my own money.
Yeah, if I could use the taxpayers' money.
I to gain without risking anything? Easy.
Hey, I heard this morning, I don't know if this is true, it could have been a parody, but I think I was watching CNBC and not Saturday Night Live. They said Corzine is missing in action.
I did see something about that, yeah.
Can anybody
on CNBC,
confirm or deny?
I got an email. I mean, a text blast. Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Dwayne?
I don't think you did.
Oh, okay. All right. No, because you got pretty garbled there for a minute. And,
unbelievable.
And I mentioned that.
Coming to.
You really did. but it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's a good garble. It's good garble.
Okay, guys, what we do is every day, for those of you that are new, we chat it up here and do the recap for the first half hour, and then we chat with our friend David Williams over at PageTrader, and our friend Mike Reed, who's been under the weather now for a while. I got an email from him this morning, and he had a little setback, but he really plans to try to be here on several occasions next week. That's a goal that he's working towards. So you guys keep him in your prayers. And Michael, if there's nothing else... Oh, partners, if you were not in the partners meeting last night, it was a great one. We had a guest speaker, one of our partners, and he talked, gosh, I don't know, probably close to an hour?
Yeah, I think so.
Shared some really good stuff. He's been trading now for, I think he said, decades, did he not say?
Yes, he did say decades.
And he's really found a comfort level and a comfort zone. And, man, it was just a real blessing to hear him talk and to hear how things have turned around and are working out for him. And the fact that he was willing to come on, take the mic, and do his best to encourage others that are dealing with all of the things that he dealt with. As traders, somebody typed in the other day about it being a lonely business, and you're in your office, wherever that is. And yeah, and you go through things and you wonder, you know, why me? I got news for you. It's not why you. It's why everybody. Whatever you're going through, I guarantee you, 99% of every other trader out there has gone through the same thing. The emotions, the this, the that. How does the market always know where I am? Why do they always take me out, you know, to the tick? How do they find my stuff? Oh, you know, and frankly, most of it's just nonsense. It's in your head. We all make common mistakes that lend what seemed to be credible truth to all those urban myths and legends. And by becoming a part of a community, what you do is you open yourself up to the hive mind where some people like Mike can come in and go, hey, you know, trading's not easy, but it can be simple. And that's what we really strive for. That's our motto. Trading's not easy, but it can be simple. So if you're not a partner and you would like to become a partner, send an email to support@cfrn.net. If you have an indicator-specific question, if you've been on the free trial, get a hold of Michael Tech, T-E-C-H, at cfrn.net. If you're trying to get your chart set up, your platform set up for your demo, and you need help, call Bert or Leslie at 866-928-3310. Again, that's 866-928-3310. If you've never taken the free trial, we encourage you to do that. Simply go to cfrn.net/apply. And I would like to also thank our sponsor, Audible. Guys, if you don't know about Audible, it's awesome. Okay? You can, courtesy of CFRN, you can go there today. You can download a book, an audiobook, for free. You can put it on your smartphone, you can put it on your computer, you can put it on your iPod Touch. It's pretty awesome. Now, I've downloaded a lot of books. The most recent, and I haven't talked about it in a while, the Steve Jobs biography. Okay? Love it or hate it, I'm still only up through the late 80s. Because I just haven't had the time to. The book is 25 hours long. Okay. Now that book sells in the bookstores for, I think it's $30. But as a listener of CFRN, you can go to audibletrial.com, and I'll type it into the chat room so that you have the link. audibletrial.com/CFRN. If you go to that link, you can take a free trial. You can download any audiobook absolutely free. Doesn't have to be just the Steve Jobs autobiography. You can download Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. You can download Erasing Heaven by Frankie Chan. I mean, there's 85,000 titles to choose from. You don't have to download the book for yourself. Maybe there's a great kids book you've been wanting to get for your kids, or you'd like to have them to be able to listen to as they fall asleep at night. Go do it. It's free. It's absolutely free. Now, are they going to hit you up for your credit card? They are, because they want you to become a member of the book club. Okay, but Audible is a very reputable organization. They give you 2 weeks, okay? You open an account, you download your free audiobook, you have 2 weeks to just go back and say, no thanks. The audiobook is yours to keep, okay? So how do you get a $30 book about Steve Jobs that you don't even have to read, somebody reads it to you for free? You go to audibletrial.com/CFRN. Download. Now, I want to say this because they are a sponsor. I think it's a great service. And for $14.95 a month, you get one credit, which is good for any audiobook, New York Times bestseller. There's even textbooks. I mean, 85,000 titles. So every month, you're going to find something that you really want to read, or I should say, listen to. while you're walking, while you're at the gym, while you're standing in line at the DMV. I mean, I really enjoy it. And so I encourage you to at least take advantage of the free trial. Remember, if you cancel within 2 weeks, you won't pay a dime. The audiobook is yours to keep. All right? They're not going to take it back. It's yours. All right? If you like the service, you'll get billed. I believe it's $14.95 a month, and you'll get a brand new audiobook every month. And you know what? If you get behind, they store the credits up for you. They never expire. So let's say you're getting ready to go on vacation for 3 weeks. You might have 3-4 credits in the bank. Boom, boom, boom. You download those audiobooks. Now you're good to go. You're going to lay on the beach. You're going to listen to whatever it is that you find interesting. So one more time, audibletrial.com/CFRN. Anything else you got, Michael?
No, other than anybody that's in here that has been on the free trial this week, if your free trial is about to expire today, get in touch with me, tech@CFRN.net, that's TECH@CFRN.net, and I'll tell you how to take the next steps so that you don't miss any of the opportunities that we had this week. That may be coming up next week. All right. I think with the market volatility that we have, there's just a ton of opportunity out there, a ton of opportunity. And again, I wanna thank Michael B for stepping up and taking the mic last night in the in the partners meeting. And everything that Dwayne had just said about Michael stepping up and taking it, he was talking to partners only, so it's not like he was doing it as a sales pitch or anything like that. You know, it was a partners only meeting, and Michael just jumped on and showed everybody what he's, you know, basically what he's done and how he's made his decisions so that he could have, right now, I think he's at 7 weeks of, 7 weeks of profitable days, or 7 weeks of days with no losses. That said, I think we're ready to roll here.
All right, guys, we're going to pause for a station identification, and then we'll go to David Williams at PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
David Williams, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and good morning, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Good morning, David. How are you, Michael?
I am all right. All right, I'm much better than I was yesterday.
Were you ill, or just...
I was. Yeah, yesterday I was feeling pretty horrible. First thing in the morning, especially, I had a rough morning.
But then last night, somebody gave him a home remedy in the partners meeting, and so he's feeling much better today.
Well, those partner meetings are more valuable than we ever thought.
Yes. Yeah, they have health benefits as well. Man. You know, it's not just financial benefits.
Well, we've been trying to tell the listeners for years on this program that it's not just about markets, although it's mostly about markets. But we do have other subjects that we cover from time to time, and it's worth listening. You know, you never know.
It is.
And I get that little remedy. What was the remedy? I'm just curious.
Whiskey, honey, and lemon juice. Whiskey, honey, and lemon juice is what it was. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What it does is it makes you, my stepmother gave me this when I was 8 years old. You give that to someone with a bad cold, and you put them in bed, and you pile a ton of blankets on top of them, and it forces a sweat. And as you break the sweat, you break the cold. And of course, when you start the sweat, you want to get all the blankets off of you, but then mom sits on top of you and holds the blankets down and says, nope. And you twist and turn and have delusions and hallucinate a little bit, and then you mm-hmm. pass out finally, and you wake up, and pff, you're like brand new.
Sounds like something out of a bad version of A Clockwork Orange, what you just described.
It kind of is.
Clockwork Orange, for those of you who are too old to know, was a really bizarre Stanley Kubrick movie many, many years ago. And it was actually a very, it's an iconic movie, but it was a little bit rougher than what Dwayne just described. But if you get a chance to see it, it's very good. And if you want to see sort of the B-movie version of A Clockwork Orange, you can go get I Spit on Your Grave, which is a B-movie of biblical proportion. And you, I don't know if Netflix has that. I don't know where that is. But
have you ever seen like a first-run movie?
No, I haven't. Actually, I just go to the B-movies, Dwayne. Okay. There's a lot of really... by the way, I Spit on Your Grave, just to let you know. I know it's a terrible-sounding title, but it really... It's an interesting movie. Four men rape a woman, and they get away with it. The police don't chase them. And the woman, one by one, exacts her revenge. And Dwayne, she does it in very surprisingly clever and unique ways that she gets each one of these men into a position where she can extract that revenge. It's worth seeing.
I don't
bring your kids.
I know that I've ever even
leave
heard
the kids.
Of
leave the kids back. Gotcha. This is not a movie for children. Another great classic B movie is 2000 Screaming Maniacs. You might want to check that out. And Surf Nazis Must Die.
You've brought that one up before. In fact, I'm familiar yeah. with that from somewhere else. I'm not sure where.
There's actually a real movie called that. But for a good movie, a great movie, and this is for the weekend. If you guys can get this on Netflix or something, I don't know if they still have it, but George C. Scott, who was a fabulous actor from a different era, his era was probably from the 50s through the 70s. He was in some later stuff, but The Changeling, the original Changeling, not the more recent one with Angelina Jolie, the original Changeling will get the hair on the back of your neck to stand up. And it's a very interesting movie done about a school teacher who loses his daughter in kind of a tragic accident. And he then moves into a large home, like a mansion in the Midwest. And then strange things start to happen. And it sounds like it's going to be some classic, ordinary ghost thing. And it isn't. It's a complete twist on that. And really worth seeing. So if you want to see something fun, I don't know if that's still around or not. Changeling is Changling. There it is. I Spit on Your Grave. It's unrated for a very good reason, because they don't have ratings for what they do in this movie.
So this is actually a relatively new movie.
Well, that might be a newer version of it. The original... Oh, Johnny just told me that the remake is horrible. Long and boring.
It's a film driven by the need to shock and disturb.
Okay. Yeah, a film driven
shocking,
by the need to shock and disturb.
And truly horrifying.
Yeah, the original, if you can find the original, it's worth seeing. It's just a good revenge movie. It's like instead of it being Charles Bronson as the mechanic or whatever and getting back at people, it's a woman getting back at four guys that got away with it. So that should be
well, good
fun
for
somebody. And The Changeling is really a great movie as well. As I've said 50 times on your program, I've yet to hear somebody say on your program, I went and rented The Changeling and I just loved it. I've yet to hear anybody say I've rented it and saw it or anything. So if anybody does, I'd like to hear them see it, because I just remember it as, for me, one of a really, you know, interesting movie and, you know, has a couple neat little peak moments in it that are pretty freaky, and freaky in not a special effects way, but freaky in a story way, so that you know, special effects are one thing, but a good storyline beats everything.
So this movie has an interesting storyline. So there you are. That's my movie review for today. It's Friday's movie review.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure that's good for you guys. Okay, do you want to get on to the markets? And you want to take it in a... Let's take it in a slightly different order today. Let's start with... well, if you want, we can start any way you'd like, Dwayne. How would you like to do it?
You know, David, I got the ES chart up, and I think it's kind of just hanging still. I mean, you want to talk about the euro? I mean, that's the big shocker of the day.
Well... let's take our normal. We'll take our normal approach. Let's start with the S&P.
Okay.
We are yesterday, the several days we've been talking about a very important top that was due in this market, and that yesterday specifically, I mentioned that any gap up today that tests any important levels in our support and resistance panel, which 1262 is our final level in that panel for today. Any level, anything like that, would be a high probability short trade. We mentioned this yesterday on your program, because the odds favor that the market will close at or below 1251 today. Now, so far, all of that has played out. The market gapped up. For people that utilize reflected wave, a turning point methodology, we had a very nice reflected wave top that was put in this morning, and the market turned on that and sold off nicely. We had a swing high this morning of somewhere near, what was the high, 59, and we sold off to 46. So we had a decent little move down, about 13 points so far. So right now, here we are testing that 51 level. So if the market has done something unusual, or if it's going to do something unusual, because it has not yet, really done anything unusual, except for the fact that we did gap up today. Which
now, yesterday was the one day late, correct?
Yesterday was one day late, so okay. Any gap today on the upside would be immediate selling territory, as I described yesterday, for a decline, at least a test of 51, and then under normal conditions, we would close today below, at or below 51, and that would further validate the turn. If today does not close below 51, at or below 51, then we have to invalidate this top. Hmm. It's that simple. It doesn't require any other nuance or angle on it. It's simply they must today close at or below 51 in order to validate the turning point that we talked about. So now that we've done 62, which is actually, you know, the original target was 52, what we mentioned about 3 days ago, and they went up and did 52 as a minimum. That was what we wanted to see, was a minimum upside of 52. And now that they've done 62, we're in a position, this is kind of a better position, in a sense, if we close today below the 51, and that's the normal thing for the market to do. If we don't close below 51, I don't suggest any further short positions. Anybody who shorted this morning on the gap based on our suggestion yesterday could have made some number of points on the downside.
You know, I did sell the open, or just prior to the open this morning, David, I sold. In fact, I had an order on overnight on Globex that never filled because the market didn't drop. And so then just prior to the open, I did sell it. And with what okay. you had said yesterday in mind, and then I aggressively managed myself right out of the position.
Okay.
Which...
That can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it started to move, and I thought, boy, this is it. The bottom's fallen out. And so I went to break even plus a tick, and guess what they did, David?
What did they do, Dwayne?
They ran my stop.
Yeah. They sometimes do that, and it depends, you know, on how close your stop is, et cetera.
Guys, we're
the they
about
that he's talking about are the people that were put on this earth to bother Dwayne Reeves while he tries to trade.
Oh.
They're standing around. They're like little imps that stand there, and they're trying to get Dwayne Reeves. Now, listen, the reason why this is a universal experience for everyone is because even though you think you're highly original, you tend to do the same things. I'm not talking about just Dwayne. I'm talking about everyone. You tend to end up doing the same things that most people do. Why? Why do most people end up doing the same thing? Because fear and greed have relatively the same effect on most people. And so while you're sitting there trading and thinking, well, you know, I see this, and I think I'm going to put my stop right here, and especially today, and I have to say, today would have been a little bit tricky because it's a gap opening, and it may leave some people with some larger question about where to place their stop correctly, et cetera. Let's put it this way, it can be more difficult to know where to put it. But in most cases, because fear and greed are such a component in the act of trading, it's not a component now. If you're out of the market, are you feeling particularly greedy or particularly fearful? No, but when you're in the market, it kicks that up. And those being such organic emotions, a lot of people respond in very much the same ways. That's why everyone has the universal experience of saying, they are messing with me. They took out my stop. This is my explanation of why that is, because there isn't a they that's doing this to you. The market isn't constructed by a bunch of people that are out to get Dwayne Reeves, because they're out, you know, I can talk to 15 different other people who all had the same experience this morning, and they were all stopped out. And you can do that on any number of trades. And so either the market is this genius thing that can just stop everyone out of their position so that they don't make any money, or everybody's acting the same and they don't know it. And I'm telling you, that is what's happening. Everyone acts the same because fear and greed they're so cardinal in our emotionals, they're so organic, so deep set, that most people will do the same things with regard to
it's like the
placing
circle.
Stops, looking, and before you know it, you're doing, it feels original, but you're really not doing much original. And this is true for everybody, myself and everybody included. I've been through this before, and there is no they. But, you know, it is what it is.
That's why I brought up the they for anybody that's
I
new.
I know, you did.
But it's kind of like the circle of life, guys. The circle of life, eat, sleep, poop. Somehow we all think we're original in that cycle or circle somehow. But whatever's happening to you and your trading, you know. Now, I'm not saying you can't be set free of that and do something different, because most certainly you can, and that's kind of the nexus of what this is all about and what we strive for each day, to bring something to the table for the listeners so that they can break free of those misconceptions, those preconceived ideas, the stereotype, the garbage. You know, we take the garbage out daily on this radio program, don't we, David?
We try to, yeah.
We try.
So the S&P, this is critical stuff. We have some of our institutional people who shorted this morning, and I've suggested that they get something off at around 52 on the downside once the decline starts, and that they make a decision at that point whether they're going to hold for the remainder of the day, or because there likely would be a bounce, and there we do have a bounce underway now. And so later in the session, you know, we're basically in the fourth hour right now, so we have another almost 3 hours. So, you know, there may be a second opportunity to short the market, but the first initial thing we talked about yesterday, where a gap up would result in a trend back down to test the 51 and then hopefully close below it, that has occurred. That has allowed some people to take some of the trade we talked about. But the real bigger picture is not just an intraday snip. It's to be in for a sizable decline off of today's high, which would at this point indicate a multi-day decline down to, this number has been adjusted, down to about 1228 or so. So that is where we would go if we close today below. I don't want to rule out, because we've seen a number of different unusual behaviors with this larger volatility, we can't rule that out, but I'm happy to see so far the normal behavior of them testing the 51 after the gap and then coming back down to test these levels. So we'll, you know, that's basically it for today on the S&P. It's how they close. They're still very much, if you look at this chart, there's no two ways about it, or as I like to say, ain't no two gosh darn ways about it. They are still in an uptrend.
You do like to say that, don't you?
I do. From time to time on your program, I'll say that. So there's nothing has been broken
now,
on
you
the
did,
upside.
You did hear, I don't know if you were listening, but at the beginning of the show I talked
was.
About the how this could potentially be the biggest week in the history of the markets ever. Not this
really?
Week, this month, this year, ever. If we close, if the Dow closes up 210 points today, it will be the single largest one-week point gain in the history of the Dow.
Yeah, can you spell volatility?
Now, last Wednesday, going into Thanksgiving, everyone was convinced that Europe was sliding off the edge of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn right around and have the biggest... And even if it doesn't happen, they'll still run with that and go, oh, well, it was almost the biggest week in history.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one heck of a turnaround story. And that's what it is.
It really
in my
is.
Opinion,
and we were joking on the show, all of us, about, you know, what would have to happen
yeah.
to turn this thing, you know, turn this and the euro and whatever around. And there it was right in our, there, you know, it occurred right away. And this helps. This is an early indication. In fact, if you'd like, let's step away from the S&P for just a minute. Let's switch over to the euro because this is the next market in order here that we would talk about
now, this
today.
Is an hourly chart. Do you want something different, daily? Or?
Well, daily's fine. No really big deal here.
You want daily?
You can see... Yeah, daily's fine. You can see that the December 1st turning point that we talked about throughout the week, we talked about December 1st being an important date in a number of different markets. And that's one of the reasons why the S&P may be able to have pushed higher here a little bit if this is not inverting and et cetera, barring those conditions. You can see that the euro has done what it would normally do, what the S&P would normally do, which is to turn on December 1st. Now, the actual turning point came today, one day late, as a spike high. Again, here's another market that spiked high today. Here's a group of markets under the same rulership, and the euro has sold off. Now, the euro, for people who may be new from, because we did have a webinar yesterday, and there may be some new people, Dwayne, on your program today.
You know what was really funny, David? You want to hear something funny?
I do.
Right after your webinar yesterday, four people came to the site and signed up.
Uh-huh. Great.
And I'm not saying there was just four. I'm just saying right away four people came. Guess what? Guess what all of them, guess what their name was?
What was their name?
David. Their name was David.
Wow.
I sussed them out. They had different email addresses and different IP addresses. It was just one of those funny things. I thought, you know, David's pulling my leg. He probably told everybody in the webinar, hey, if you go over there to get on the radio, you know, to come to the radio program, just put your name in as David. You know.
Yeah, I actually didn't do that, but that would have been really funny.
I mean, one came in, I didn't even think about it. Then the second one, by the time the fourth one came through, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. A little unusual. Okay, so the euro, for people who are new, we have a roadmap set up for the euro where... last week was a bottom for a multi-week advance up to 136.70 or higher. And the 136.70 is due on the week of December 12th. So we still have two full trading weeks left before that needs to happen. So this pullback, as we talked about yesterday, because one of your listeners did ask, you know, if the S&P is going to go down, the euro goes down, how does that tie in with us getting up to 136.70? Because that's how markets do it. They move back and forth, and then finally, they'll have the run that gets us over to that target, as long as the market confirms. And clearly, there's a ton of news and tons of things going on. But you can see that, excuse me, I have something that I just ate, and I'm sorry about that. But there's a... Just briefly, let me just go off the subject just for a moment. There's a Mexican candy that there's a bunch of Mexican candies that some 7-Elevens out here sell. And these are the candies that are made in Mexico. And they have chili, some kind of fruit, chili powder, salt, and something else. And they have a very distinct flavor. And some people really enjoy that.
What
so
do you
I
call
just took
that?
A bite of
a clockwork orange. Is that what you call that?
It could be. That's not bad. Anyway, That's why I was coughing there, because it was so chili-like and so salted.
So let me ask you a question, David. You see this price, this very large price channel up here on the daily chart on the euro?
This is the euro, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, because you're saying it could still be 2 weeks before this rally you're looking for?
Well, it's not that it could be. It's just that the forecast is for the week of December 12th to be the completing week for that. Right. And I want to see continued daily closes pretty much above 133.10 or something between now and then to help confirm that. But we knew a top was due. Of the December 1st turning point was the across all the markets, gold, the S&P, and the euro. Go ahead.
Now, I was just trying to get an idea of if we should look, because we're kind of in the middle of the channel here, if we should look for this thing to get itself turned around in this area, or if there was enough time left in the equation for it to visit the bottom of the channel again. And I don't really anything can happen.
No.
But you don't.
No, visiting the bottom of the channel
to you
is not something.
Okay.
That would be allowable.
Okay.
In this under these conditions, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It's not that it couldn't happen, but it would sort of break the setup here. So we had talked about on the program them getting above 135 to 135.20 on a daily closing basis to get you long into the market for that move, and they've not been able to do that. Although they did spike 135, they went to 135.50 on the overnight. So, but look, they're not going to close above that level. Very similar to what the S&P did by spiking up, and so far the euro has completed what normally the S&P would kind of do under that same theme of rulership. That's why we talked yesterday several times about the idea of a gap up, or for any of these markets where they test these levels, we need to see a close above it for the euro to get underway. So we're not there yet. But one thing I do like is the pullback that we're experiencing right now will set up important bottoms, cyclical bottoms, inside here that we can trade off of, and we can buy those pullbacks with the idea that although they haven't confirmed above 120, above the 135 level on a daily close, the fact is we can start a position here with minimal or nominal risk for the idea that they may indeed subsequently do that. And, you know, if you don't want to hold over the weekend, that's fine. We maybe just take advantage of this next week. but that's the ongoing forecast for the euro. And again, just to make it clear, under normal conditions, as long as we continue to close daily above, you know, the levels I'd mentioned earlier, we would normally head up into 136.70 coming into the week of December 12th. That would be a typical place for the market to go during that time period. And we'll set this up as we get into next week. If you want to trade this, we can either wait for the signal above 135.20, which is probably the wisest thing to do, or if something else happens over the weekend, we'll update it at that time. But the real purpose of this trade, even though we have this move, the real purpose is subsequent to December 12th. It's after December 12th. That week is going to mark a very important turning point from which we're looking for a 400 or more pip reversal. So what we're really doing here is trying to set up a trade, and we're going to trade into that setup. The setup is really for a top to be on December 12th, the week of, and then a reversal, but we're going to trade up into that if the market gives us the confirmation here. They haven't yet, because we're not above 135 on a daily closing basis yet. So there is the euro for you. Any question on that, Dwayne?
No.
From you or any of the listeners?
No. Let's see if there's a question on from Octavio on the S&P, but I don't. Does anyone have any questions on the euro while we're on the euro? I see a couple of.
And I'd like to answer Octavio as well. Let me just get through the gold, and then let's move back over to the S&P.
Okay.
We'll take a look.
All right.
Yesterday, I'd mentioned on your program that although gold had put in sort of a classic. Some kind of a candlestick formation.
Daily or
might
an hourly here, David?
I'm sorry?
Would you like a daily or an hourly
chart? Oh, daily would be good for me. Thanks.
This is hourly, guys, and you can see we really ran up last night. That hour right there was, or this morning, a pretty powerful move.
Yeah. Yesterday we had forecast that under normal conditions, that the gold market, although they looked somewhat weak yesterday on their close, under normal conditions, they would actually continue higher today and go test and go touch 176. What was the level we gave? 1761. Sorry. $1,761 on the upside. And on your program, people, you had asked me to, you know, people want to know what to do with these forecasts and where to buy and where to sell. And I just told people just to buy the silly thing yesterday, if you remember that.
You did. I've got it dutifully recorded for all the world to hear.
That's
good. You did say that.
What I liked... Yeah, no, I know. What I liked about the setup was that the market did a really nice little fake out on the downside, and that fake out would be a perfect place to have gotten people out who those people would subsequently then say things like, they stopped me out. They really screwed me. And then the market would turn and go make new highs. And so because of that, and one other, and some reflected wave indications, with the prices around 1744, I told your listeners, whoever, to just go long and to get in the market for the move from 1744 up to 1761. So whatever that works out to, it's 17 points, but in reality, I'm assuming they could have reasonably gotten maybe 11 or 12 of those, reasonably. Just give some room for whatever reason. So I hope somebody took advantage of that. And the reason the forecast was made was because the natural price for gold on December 2nd, as I mentioned yesterday, was $1,761. And you can see how, under normal conditions, the market, how nicely the market will respond to that natural urge to be at a specific price on a specific day. There was some question, and there's almost always some question on any trading setup. In this particular case, December 1st, yesterday, the day that we were on talking about this, they had already gone up some, and they did $1,758, and that's only $3 away. And an argument could be made that, you know what, that was good enough, and it's not really wise to buy it here because they, you know, they kind of did it. They came within 3 points. But the way that they went down and the fact that we did have a good reflected wave bottom off of that sell-off seemed pretty obvious that we would end up today going to touch that. And so here's a third market where the date of December 1st, plus or minus a day, you can again see why I was so adamant about the S&P, because we've seen the top and the turn in the euro. We're seeing the top and the natural price level get reached in the gold market. And we're watching the S&P right now play with the critical 51 level, which, as I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, and then I want to answer Octavio's question, that the 51 level is important and under normal conditions would be closed below today. If they don't close below it today, then I would suggest that you do not remain short over the weekend. And no matter what happens, I would think it would be wise, just because we have rules and we try to follow the rules of our trading. The rules aren't made up out of the blue. They're made up out of experience and time. And if the market is going to go down substantially as we originally forecast, then there'll be another spot for us to get in. But I think if they close above 51 by anything substantial, you know, anything more than a point today, they can close at 51. That's actually allowable. But if they close above it, you know, 53, 54, whatever, then we don't want to participate on the short side until next week, where we may, you know, have something to say about it at that time. So because gold has done what it would normally do and has gone up and done 1761 on December 2nd, that leaves gold in a position now as well for a decline, a multi-day decline from here. And so this would be something for you to, if you're using Dwayne's material, Dwayne and Michael's material, you could go and simply be short at a pullback. You could use reflected wave. For those of you who don't know what reflected wave is, there may be some new people here. This is a turning point methodology that we use in our market forecasting. And you can read about it by going to masterforecastercourse.com. And for a limited time, we do teach that methodology. And so you might be interested in learning about that. You can go and take a look at masterforecastercourse.com. So for gold now, just let me say this. Because gold did complete its natural level for the date of December 2nd, that makes actually tomorrow the on-time day, meaning Monday, I'm sorry, the 5th, the on-time day for a top in reflected wave, and today, December 2nd, the on-time top in the natural, in spatial relationship forecasting. So we have quite a bit going on right here with gold, with two separate techniques, two techniques that are truly completely different. And when we see two different techniques that are completely different call the same thing, it's usually, you know, the odds favor that thing occurring. So we'll watch that. Now, I'd like to take Octavio's question, if you'll give it to me, and we'll talk about it.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Question is, David, are you using the daily chart for the ES with or without Globex for the one-day late calculation?
Mm-hmm. Now, he's a bright guy, and he's asking that question because he knows that, well, let me answer the question first. I could have gone long on that. I was about to give him a lot of compliments, but and he has them coming, but I'm going to do this a little differently. This is being used with the daily. Anything daily and larger, we include Globex in our particular way of looking at the market. So if it's daily and larger, we're including the overnight. Anything smaller than daily, we're not using the overnight. And if you're new, don't worry about the reasoning behind it. But so this particular calculation has to do with us using the daily chart, and that means it includes the Globex. Now, had a person been trading off of the S&P 500 pit, the pit session, not the electronic, but the pit session, then actually today is the 1 day late on reflected wave. And so which one do you use? And of course, we're going to use the one with the most liquidity, and that of course is the E-mini Globex and overnight combined daily chart. This has the most liquidity. So this is the one that we're using. So I hope that answers your question, Octavia. Well, nice to hear from you as well. And I will, you know, we'll be watching as how today's session closes. A lot of the people, as I said before, the people that we suggested, not only on your radio program, but to our subscribers, the some of the guys that are trading in some larger size, to short today's gap all the way up to 62, and that they can book something at 51 on the downside, which I'm assuming they have, and then hold for the remainder. And then if we do end up closing today below 51, then go have yourself a nice weekend, because that will be all the confirmation we need that there is a multi-day decline due here. So I think that covers all three. I mean, basically so far, everything that was supposed to happen has happened. The euro turned on December 1st, plus or minus 1 day. The S&P has initially confirmed by coming back down to 51, we need to see the daily close. That's the real confirmation. So we have a sort of some early confirmation, which are, this is a good thing. And then in gold, we hit the natural target for December 2nd at the $1,671 level, and they're going to reverse off that as well going into next week. The whole purpose of all this is, you know, these are different setups that you can put together a trade and have an idea of where the market is going to go, and an idea that the market's going to turn, as an example, which can be a very important piece of information. And for me, it's a very important piece of information. If I'm going to be in the market, I want to have as much information that has high probabilities connected with it. And so that's the name of the game here.
There's two questions.
So that's all we're doing here.
One from Patrick, one from Robert, but I think they're both referencing the same thing. If the S&P 500 does close below 1251 today, is the second leg down of the roadmap mentioned yesterday still valid? Also known as, ask David what happened to the daily roadmap of a 35-point drop on the S&P Messenger. I think that's the same question from two different people.
I think the guy that's asking, who are the two that are asking the question?
Patrick and Robert.
Okay. Hi, Patrick and Robert. You may be both be answering this, asking the same question, but if today does close below 51, then at or below 51, it can close at there. My preference is below, but it can close at or below 51. Then we are underway, and we would be looking for an initial move down to roughly 29 or so. This is just kind of rough here on the downside. And then Patrick was asking about the second leg. Yes, the second leg would still be quite in the cards. And these second legs, I've called a lot of them and have traded less than I've called on those second legs, because quite often by the time I am getting out of that position, I'm happy enough with what I've got. And then sometimes that second leg happens very quickly. There's an interesting thing about the second leg as well. That I want to say is that it's, again, similar to the thing we've talked about in the past where, you know, we say that, you know, you're trading at the edges and you're very comfortable there. Edges are like tops and bottoms, and I do a lot of that. But there's also very key points inside of these downtrends that can make for very easy trading, much easier than where the fight is at. The fight is at the edges where the market's attempting to turn, like today, where there's, you know, there's a lot of questioning about what's going on up here. Are they going to turn? Or, you know, that's the fight. But quite often in the second leg, the one that Patrick is asking about, where we say, you know, you're talking about moving down to 29, but then it might be, maybe there's a bounce there. But when they break that, is, can we look for another, you know, 35 points or whatever we're talking about? The answer is yes. But secondarily, that second leg can often be really easy to trade. So what that means is that if there were a bounce at or near the 35 point down level, the 29 or 28 or 27, whatever, if there were a bounce there and the market consolidated and then later closed below that low, that's a form of a breakout that I'd be very interested in trading. It might not look that good to most people because the market's already had a really good move down. And you're thinking, well, you know, they're just testing that low, or maybe they're just going to go a little lower. When in fact, they're going to do a whole nother 35 points. And quite often, they do that second leg very promptly. They just get right down to business, and it's much easier to hold for whatever reason. I mean, I could surmise why that might be, but that's, it's an interesting thing that that's how it works. So we should, it'll be interesting to follow this through and watch how this plays out over some time here. Yes, we do have a very powerful week up, and one thing I would do for practical trading purposes, and I think we may even already be there, I don't know, but in fact, let me just take a look at something here. When we get, if trading purposes wise, when we get down to 46, then we're already about 17 or 18 points down from the high, and that already, for me, is an initial place to be booking something, if you are short on the S&P. Now, the only people that I'm assuming are short in the S&P are people who were bold, you know, and that bold doesn't mean you're a real man. Bold means you're willing to take a, you know, a risk based on the high probabilities, but it gets scary because the market gaps up and there's some question because we're past the one day late. But for the people that did, that's another spot, you know, 51 first for them to come down and test 51, and then 46, which is roughly about half the initial move down to 29 that we'd be talking about. So that's another place for people to book a little something. And this is all falls in the category of risk management. You're managing the risk of the trade by exiting some of your positions, booking some gains, because it's all theoretical until it happens. And it is going from theory to the practical moment by moment. And as long as they continue to confirm by moving lower, which we happen to be moving somewhat lower right now, we're below 51 right now, then we will, the theoretical turns into the actual, and we continue to trade the plan all the way down. But just remember this about these second legs. And if you go back to any of our roadmaps that we've done in the past, you'll see that we might say, you know, the euro is going to go up 200 clicks and then, or pips, and then it's going to have a little pullback, and then it's going to go another 200. Well, that second 200 is really often a very, very easy move to hold. And you'd feel somewhat strange buying it up there because you think, God, it's already gone up so much, and, you know, they've already, and then suddenly there's just a whole new leg of energy that comes in. And that's why it's so easy, because you're getting in on something new, not the end of something old. It looks like the end of something old, but it's actually the beginning of something new. That means that new energy has been released into the market at that point. So on the S&P, if we get down to 29 and we have a bounce, a breakout from that level on the downside, most traders will not trade. That's just how traders are. But the market will, in fact, go substantially lower on a breakout like that. And you watch, as you see, for the new people and for people in the past, watch how the second leg is. It's very powerful. Knowing this has not made it any easier for me to trade the second leg, to be honest with you, because there is such a intuitive feeling that it's a dangerous area to be in. And it just works out that it's one of the best areas to trade. So I hope we get a chance to see that all together in the coming week here. So there you go. I hope I answered their questions, Octavio's and everyone else's.
I think so. Robert just commented that the second leg is much more aggressive, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's more aggressive for the trader to get in, but I think what my discussion is that it really is more like saying it's apparently more aggressive, but in reality, it ends up being very easy to hold on to. It actually might be the easiest part of the trade. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's hard to get in it. It intuitively doesn't look very good. And then suddenly there's a big explosive move and people are, wow, what's all this? You know, and everyone's, wow, surprise. Well, that's because that second leg has begun and it, you know, the cycle is hit and new energy comes into the market and the market really gets underway. There's just not a lot of stuff to stop the market. There's not a lot of fight going on. It just gets right down to business. So we'll see. So today, let's just take a look at the pullback we have right now in the S&P. This, from today's high, we made a low of 46. And if you want to calculate that out for yourself, you'll see that that is about exactly halfway from the 29 level that we're talking about. So we're already having the bounce we had today already is a bounce off of the initial expenditure of energy that would come out of a top. And that's about 17 to 18 points, or whatever it really works out to here. If you take 63 minus 46, it's 17 points. We're talking about 34, 35 points down is the initial move. So that's one of the reasons the market has paused here. And that's always a point to take a profit. You know, people in Fibonacci and stuff, people use the 50%. That is fine. And in this particular case, the 50% mark is important for a completely different reason, not that it's necessarily just Fibonacci, but there is a principle at work, in a sense, in why the market will often bounce at that point, as it will often do at the next level, which would be the 29-28 level on the downside. So we're not out of the woods yet for today. You know, we have several hours left, and it should be interesting to see how they finish this up. I just want to say again, after having said all of this, that we're still in an uptrend right now, technically. Nothing has changed that fact. And in most cases, the market, when it changes that fact, does it suddenly and irrevocably. So it's going to look normal right up to the moment that it isn't. And so you kind of have to be in most cases, because they won't make it really easy to see that they're doing this or about to do it. That is, to break the uptrend. So just keep that in mind. The S&P has a really nasty habit of painting really pretty pictures and then just destroying them. And this, on a 60-minute chart or a 15-minute chart, whatever, it's a very pretty picture of the market just making higher highs and higher lows and higher highs and higher lows. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. if the market really has inverted and blown through a reflected wave top, this is just a midpoint for substantially higher prices. That's why I'm saying that you do want to use caution here. I'm hoping, since I haven't spoken to them, that most of the people that we gave this information to, including the radio, but for our own customers, that they booked something at 51 and worst case at 46, so that they have something to protect themselves upon, you know, the fact, if it turns out to be the fact that we're going to be going substantially higher here, if that's the fact. Under normal conditions, we wouldn't be, as I've said, as I've repeated mindlessly for the last 2 days. So there you are, Dwayne.
All right. Any other questions from anybody? Anybody that's new? You got questions about, we do this every day. We've been doing this for years. We're closing in on, actually, April or May, it'll be 7 years since we first broke the airwaves here at CFRN.
It's amazing.
Yeah, time flies.
And I've been on your program for most of those years, Dwayne.
You have.
Six of them, anyway.
That's
true. Dwayne used to be sort of like a Gandhi. He was doing this radio program just out of the sheer, seriously, out of the sheer love of the media,
yeah,
out of the sheer love of radio, out of having a thing like this going on, having listeners. And he made a really very admirable attempt to blend two very different genres, the religious one and the trading. He had has a very strong religious interest, and he also has a very strong trading interest. And so he blended them two into CFRN. And I think, if I may say so, I think there was a part of him that felt, perhaps, that it was appropriate for him to do it, you know, as a labor of love, which he did. And you know, recently though, or you know, within the last year or two, he has, you know, with Michael, has developed his own package, and now he's back in the real world of providing a product and trading in that product. I mean, I don't mean trading like in the markets, but trading meaning, you know, that product is in the marketplace. People can buy that product from him. So he's sort of come back. He's come a long distance himself over these years. When I first met him, I was encouraging him to do something like this, and he was encouraging me to stop bothering him about it. So, but somewhere along the line, you know, he did. And so one of the things about this radio program, this is for new people, but that I like about it is that he went out of his way to make sure that the people that he had on, and this is before we came on, but whoever he had on, he wanted to have people on that had a product that, you know, that he could believe in, that he didn't want to just be pitching something that ended up angering people or making people feel bad, etc. And over those years, I've seen him have people on who he subsequently got rid of because he felt that their product really wasn't doing what it could and should do, etc. So he made a big attempt to make the radio station as clean as possible. We feel really good about being involved in that, and we've put a lot of time and energy ourselves into trying to give listeners something that they can work with in the markets to help them stay on track or to help them make a profit, or even if they take nothing in terms of a trade, just with the encouragement that the market isn't just this random mix of an unholy, you know, free-for-all of people buying and selling. It actually has a certain kind of an order to it. Whether you understand the order or not, if it can be demonstrated to you, it can be encouraging, even if you're not taking the trades, that there is something going on here, and this really is something that can make you money if you take these indications, whether they're Dwayne's or ours or whatever, or your own. You know, a lot of what's going on here is for you to learn how to do this yourself. Dwayne has a product to help you learn to do it yourself, and we have a product, Reflected Wave, to help you learn to put these trades together for yourself. So
The end goal
just wanted to give the new people a little background about you. And Dwayne has really long hair, and he looks like a guy that would be a roadie for a band that probably loses their job every other week. But go ahead, Dwayne.
The end result being that whether it's our product or David's product, or as many of our listeners have both products, is that ultimately you don't need us. You know, because with what David teaches you and with what we teach you, you know, after a period of time, we would like to think that you don't need us, but we certainly hope you'll continue to hang out with us.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it.
Show, be a part of the community, participate, ask questions, all of those things, you know?
Right. It's a lot of fun. The interaction's very good, and I have found, and I think a lot of our customers have found, people who've gone to our seminars, I'm sure this is true of Duane as well, that the camaraderie thing, talking about the markets, getting text messages or getting online, this all helps, and it helps you feel like there's somebody that understands what you're doing, you're understanding what they're doing, and it can really help put you ahead of where you were. And I'm very happy to be a part of that thing that helps people get ahead. You know, yes, it's a business. If we're running it that way, we're running it as a business, but a big, big part of trading is psychology, and putting everything else aside, it really helps to be in contact with people that are like-minded and doing a lot of the same thing that you're doing. And I've got proof for myself. I've seen it in my own, you know, customers of ours, clients of ours that have improved their trading dramatically because of this, because they're talking and they're working with the product and they're working every day, and it just works out over time. It really does help people. So I'm very happy to do that, and I know Duane is as well. So I just wanted to give a little bit of a background on Duane and the radio program and myself as well. Duane was actually a customer of ours at one point and invited us onto the program. And then we just started, you know, we started once a week or something, and then we got on every day, and we've been doing that for 6 years now.
That is a true story. And, you know, for anyone that's new, when a lot of people I know, and this is only natural, and I, quite frankly, I don't blame you, new people, they come to the site for the first time, or they come to the radio show and they go, oh, CFRN, Christian Financial Radio Network. Oh, yep, here, just one more, using God to bilk people out of their money. Well, you know, I'm happy to say that in almost coming into our seventh year, you've never once heard me on the show go, oh, boy, I was down on my knees last night and Jesus told me I needed to get short the S&P 500 E-mini. You know, join me, brothers, you know. There's none of that crap here. I'm just going to say it. You know, we love God, we love people, we love life.
Yeah.
And we want to bring all of that good stuff to you. But the whole shakedown thing, we don't do that. So.
Yeah. Actually, there was a fellow on your program at one point that did a version of that, and he's no longer on your program.
Well, yeah. That's kind of true, David.
I'm sorry. It's the truth.
It's kind of true.
There ain't no kind of about it. Ain't no kind of about it. That's exactly what he was doing.
Can you do that when you're in a trade? If I'm short and I get down and start praying?
I think
is that okay to do?
That's okay to do, and I still think that yelling come on baby and our top 10 things to list, list of things to yell at the market is even more effective.
Yeah, I love that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice, that disembodied voice you hear there, that is our broker, Mr. Burton Schlichter. Hey, Bert.
Hello. What's going on, guys?
You know, this is a really interesting dynamic, guys. We talked about it in the live trading room this morning. Our broker actually comes and hangs out with us live in real time while we're trading in the trading room. And
I even take trades, too.
And he even takes trades. And so I asked them the trading room this morning, because we had visitors, people on a free trial. I said, when's the last time your broker took time out of his busy day to come hang out with you while you were trying to learn this business of trading? Chances are, never. So, something very unique, and it's why I'm so thankful to have Bert, Leslie, and Daniel's Trading as part of this team, a very important and valued part of this team. Thank you, Bert.
Yeah, no sweat. So, David, how's the market treating you today?
I wish somebody would ask the market how I'm treating them today. It's always
like
the other way around. I want somebody to say to the market, so how's Dave treating you today? But I'm not that big of a trader. So, all right, so I'll answer your question. The market is, so far, if you're talking about the S&P, it has done, we talked yesterday about the possibility of a gap open today, and then they would come down and test 51, because in reflected wave today, we must close below, at or below 51. So we instructed people yesterday to short the market on any gap up today, because of the high probability of both a retest of 51 and the possibility of and likelihood of a close below 51 today, and that would validate the larger multi-day decline that we would be looking for. In other markets, both the gold and the euro, they're both putting in their turns, which is where December 1st, we had a bunch of dates, a bunch of markets come together for December 1st. Gold did go up and do its 1671 or whatever the target was for December 2nd. They gapped, you know, they ran up today and did that off of a buy.
Got to that 1761.
Yeah, 1761, and that was a buy from yesterday, just as a short-term deal for about, you know, you could have probably picked up $1,100 out of that. It was a 17-point move, but I mean, realistically, you could have gotten a decent little chunk out of that. And then the euro has sold off, and we have the larger forecast for the euro, which is really doesn't even have to start until next week because it's 2 weeks off, and that's for the euro to continue to advance. And that's up to the I don't have the numbers, but maybe it's 136.70 is the number on the upside. And we don't really, I would have normally messaged this trade to you to give out as a free trade, but if we are going to do that, you're going to see it as a free trade upon a breakout above 135. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take less profit with higher certainty.
You know, on the S&P, David, on a larger time frame, because I know the larger time frames trump the shorter term.
They do.
Did we, last week, is that a weekly bottom? Should we be expecting?
No. Obviously, it is a weekly bottom, but I mean, it's on the weekly chart. It's obviously we had a very powerful turn, but not in the way that you're asking. No, it's not. And they just had a very powerful reversal there. The S&P does have some other time frames that are important with what happened as I don't remember what it was. We did something with the S&P on or around November 24th or 5th, but I don't remember exactly what it was. But we're at a point right now where, like I said before, today they're centering on or near that 51, and later today we'll see how we handle that on a closing basis. So it's a little unusual what they've done here, but this has been one of the most unusual weeks. You know, if you have to have something go wrong with a system or trade unusually, here it is doing so on one of the largest weeks, if not perhaps the largest week in the history of the market. So we'll deal with it as it occurs. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. You doing anything interesting, Bert?
No, not really. Just fielding some phone calls. You know, volatility's been pretty high.
I suppose by the end of the week, you're probably completely burnt out.
A little bit.
His name is Bert, and it's okay. Never mind.
But
go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
No, go ahead. I was just explaining to people. I told people yesterday during the seminar that I'm kind of silly, and now they're
that's right. Now they get a good taste of it.
A good taste of it, right? I didn't say I was funny. I said I was silly.
Yeah. The crude oil. We're still looking for higher prices, right?
Well, yes.
Are they on the same cycle as the? I hate to use the word cycle, but
no, it's okay. Cycle is fair enough. I mean, it's okay. We don't have to be perfect in it. I'm not crazy about the word either. I know what you mean, but it has its use. Okay, let's take a look. We haven't done a lot with crude, but we originally
talked about a monthly bottom.
And that bottom was due in August of 2011. And then in October, they spiked slightly below that. But obviously, that began this huge – it was a retest of the August bottom. And then they had this huge move up. And I haven't done much work other than that. Anybody with reflected wave would have known about those things that we're talking about. And we'll – you know, if you want over the weekend here, I may be able to put something more together with crude. This has been a good market also. This has really been a very volatile and big swinging market that the crude, you know, each of these markets has a personality, and crude has a pretty good propensity to do spikes of important levels, you know, trading through in a very fast flash way to flush people out before turning. So crude, although it does have great volatility, it also has a lot of that kind of seriously testing a level and really putting you into, you know, your, you know, fear zone before they may turn and then confirm the outlook, which in this particular case was that there was a monthly bottom and we'd be looking for a multi-month advance. So that's what we've got so far. I don't know about where we are here. I'd have to study it a little bit, but I will do so, and we can talk about it next week and see if we can put something together with it.
Sure.
So, and again, that, I think, Dwayne, for today, I think that's everything we've got. The crude, basically, you know, that's a small indication for now, but the S&P, the euro, and the gold. Unless you have any other questions for me or want me to talk mindlessly about, well, I do want to say this. The President of the United States is going to get up. We did have a piece of good news today. The unemployment rate dropped, what I have to say, is pretty dramatically, from 9.1 down to 8.6. And for those of you who are Democrats, that's that stimulus from a couple of years ago just kicking in. There it is.
Yeah.
starting to kick in just about now.
I'm just, I mean this in only the best way, just stand by for the revised numbers.
Yeah, stand by for the revised numbers. And, of course, and I know this is just pure politics, and I don't want to anger anybody, but,
yeah,
you know, every
the
time.
The headline right now says, economy has created private sector jobs for 21 straight months. This was something that the president just said in his speech.
Yeah.
How do you stand in front of a room? How do you stand in front of the world and say that?
It's, you do that because you don't have a conscience. That's why how you do that.
Well, I'll tell you something. Most of my friends are construction workers, and they.
Why is that? Why are most of your friends construction workers?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question right there.
I don't know. Maybe we're just, you know, blue-collar people.
Okay.
Pull up our sleeves. I don't know. That's a good question. Anyways, they, you know, a lot of those guys were out of work, and they got jobs now. They're going back to work.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So they got some work. I talked to a few of them last week, and they said maybe things are picking up because we got work, and they're bringing back guys, you know, bring guys on the crew to, you know, frame up houses and stuff like that. So it's, I don't know. That's all I'll say about that.
Okay. Apparently,
no, that's good.
I took that
listen,
statement.
Everybody wants that.
Apparently, I took that statement out of context, David. According to Mark, he was on CNBC at some meeting with Clinton at some small organization he likes where they now employ 250 people in green energy.
Okay. Yeah, he's hooked on the green energy. My only complaint is that he is nowhere to be found for the last 27 months where every week there's 400,000 new people signing up for unemployment, and but when the good news shows up, he's going to go up and make a speech about it. And all I'm asking him to do is to be there for both of them. Answer, you know, if you're going to take the gain, also take the hit, and tell us what your plan is, tell us what you're doing. Don't give us a bunch of, you know, run and hide until the good news shows up and then appear triumphantly, you know, wearing a new jacket, explaining how this is all a result of your great programs. It doesn't work that way. And I'm very happy, on the other hand, and you have to say, you know, this is, if good news happens, you know, it's under this administration, finally we've got some good news, that's good. We're still way deeper than we need to be, but everybody, you can't deny that that's a very positive piece of news from 9.1 down to 8.6 or whatever it is fabulous. That's a very, very good piece of news for the economy, and I hope in spite of my distaste for this administration, I hope that it continues, even if it makes them look good, because I would rather have the goodness of the United States, you know, have a good time and things get better than...
There was good housing numbers this week, too, I believe. Correct, Bert? Bert's gone now. Yeah, there was...
Yeah,
I forget
gone.
What the exact numbers were, but there was a definite turnaround in one of the numbers, whether it was resale or whatever it was.
Yeah, so those are good signs, and that means that 2012, and originally we talked about this, you know, 10 months ago, that somehow in 2012 things are going to start looking up and looking good, and then he's going to look good in 2012, and he's going to name his policies as the whole reason why all this happened. And that'll be the big debate, and we'll go from there.
Well,
I hope he doesn't
get
reelected, and I hope somebody who knows what to do with this economy and understands the idea of spend a dollar, you have spent it, it goes away and you have to get another one. And if you borrow a dollar, you have to pay it back. You know, I've said it so many times. If these guys were left unabated, if they just could do whatever they wanted to do, they would, we would be at 18 trillion instead of 15 trillion now. That's how much they would have spent. That's no joke. That's where we would be. There would have been another $2 trillion stimulus if he had his way, and some other bunch of stuff that he would have been. You know, what we need to have grow, Mr. President, is the economy, not government. We don't need government to grow. We need the economy to grow. He's got it exactly backwards. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Was I going to say something?
It sounded like you were going to say something because I thought you were saying something.
Well, I will say something. Alan comments that he was shocked when he investigated and found out how they determine the unemployment number. Because you think it would be kind of based off, like, you know, how many unemployment checks did they cut, or, you know, how many people. They survey 60,000 households. How do they do that? They call them on the telephone, and they ask them, are you working, or are you not working? Now, I'm going to guess maybe if you call in the middle of the day and nobody answers the phone, you tick the working box. I don't know. I'm serious.
I hope that's not it.
No,
I hope that's not it.
You
Alan,
guys
if that's what it is, it's that's not good.
Investigate it, guys. That is how they figure this stuff. Nobody's going to believe it. Go Google it for yourself, and you'll go, wow. And what I want to know is, how did I end up not owning that phone room?
I know. You were born to run phone rooms, Dan.
Oh,
Dwayne.
My goodness. That's all I can think about. When I
all right, well,
that,
listen.
That's how they do it. All right.
Well,
Robert's going to
Dwayne, listen, I don't have anything else on my end here. I want to thank the people who came to our webinar yesterday.
Yes.
And they can come to the radio program every day. We give out forecasts just about every day. And I've said this before, just want to say it for the new people, that when it comes to our particular forecast, things that we put out, we don't put it out unless it's it has to be really something we believe in before we'll say it. So you can pretty much rest assured that if we put it out, it's something that has been well thought through. We're not frivolously just putting out numbers or things just to give filler. My filler is saying silly things and berating the president. That's my filler. My good stuff is putting out trades that I have well thought out or forecasts that have been thought out before I give it out. I don't like to give out halfway information. So if you're new to this, if we give out forecasts, keep watch them. See if that can be something that's useful in your trading. And I would like to wish everybody a great weekend as well. Dwayne, you too, the listeners, and I'm planning on being back here on Monday with you for what has to be a really interesting week next week in trading, hopefully profitable as well. And by the way, for the new people, we're going to have, starting Tuesday, a fellow that will be on the radio at some point next week. His name is Michael, and he's going to be at our corporate office in Las Vegas with us and trading throughout the whole week. So right here. And so we're going to get him on the radio as well. He trades in huge size in the E-mini. What do you think huge is? He trades 300 contracts a swipe, 500 contracts a day, 1,000 contracts a day.
Tell us,
no,
David.
He trades like 15,000 to 20,000 contracts per day. That's what he trades per day. I've seen him do it, and I'm going to watch him all throughout the week. His screen has the little box on it that shows you your P&L on that particular position or group of positions. And he's a very easygoing, low-key guy, but he's very intently interested in trading, and he trades in huge size, larger than anybody that I know, probably larger than anybody that you know. I've never heard of or seen anybody. Actually, I've heard people. You know, people will tell you all kinds of stories in the trading world, just like they do, I guess, in anything. But he's the real deal, and I've seen it, and I'll be trading with him here, and we're going to have him live on the radio next week. So if you're new to CFRN and to all of this, definitely stay with us throughout next week. Even if you're mad at us for what we said about the president, stay on anyway. And listen in to what happens throughout the week, because we're probably going to have some very interesting trades, interesting forecasts, and we're also going to have Michael here as well who can talk to you or answer questions about what he does, and it should be really good. I'm looking forward to seeing him and to trading with him and to relating all of that to everybody as best as I can. And I know at the end of the week I'm going to be inspired like I am every time. It's not that he's a big magnetic personality trying to zip you up and to inspire you. Just the fact that he's doing this stuff right in front of you just changes your whole perspective. You know, to go to lunch after you've seen him trade 18,000 E-mini contracts in a day, you know, opens your eyes a little bit when you might have traded 20, you know.
Right.
So it's a whole different ball of wax. And I'm hoping that I can inspire, I can get, you know, some of the inspiration that I get from him, I'm going to try to give to you guys as well. And not that I want you to trade foolishly or anything, but just to know that it's possible is an amazing inspiration. Just to know that there's somebody doing that is really big. So he'll be here next week, courtesy of himself. He'll be coming out here to
He's
do
been
that
on again. The show, guys, three times before, if you're new. And so going back several years, you can go to our archive site, archive.cfrn.net, or just Google CFRN interview with Trader X or Michael X, whatever I called him, and they'll pop up, and you can listen to those old interviews, those old... I said I would try to find them for you and put the links on the blog, and you know what? By jingos, I think I'll still try to do that for you. I think I did it the last time he came. So, okay. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Dwayne. Have a great weekend. All of the listeners as well. My pleasure to talk with you guys every day, and I'll plan on seeing you on Monday.
We'll see you then.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne.
Bye.
All right, guys, that's my cue to get up and get out of here. I'm going to leave the hourly chart up because I really want you to watch the trend line. I think that's probably the most important thing we have going on right now into the close. You've already heard what David has to say about the close below 51. In fact, let me do this. I'll extend this out. Although this is not what David's work's based on, it's the best way that I can kind of show you what you're watching for. See where this crosses here. How many hours we got left? We got 2 hours left. Is that right? Yeah. So you're going to get two more candles across here. We could close below 51 and still stay above this trend line. So in David's work, okay, that means below 51 is a continuation, if I recall what he just said correctly. But I think you can see that the trend line here, although it's extending all the way to the left, pay that no mind. All we're doing is connecting this bottom to today's bottom. Okay, just a basic little trend line right there. Now, any close below that trend line, going into the close, if I were going to be here, I would really like to be a part of that. As you can see over here, on the 10,000 contract chart, this thing started to set up what looked like could be a nice short. It had a very minimal drop, popped up again. Because we're against that big trend line on the hourly, this little area that I just highlighted, we'll call it 46 on the downside, and we'll call it 52 on the upside. How about that? 46, 52. Alright, we get above 52, you may consider whatever you want to consider being long. Below 46, I like the idea of being, you know, short the market, because that will tie in with David's forecast. What I'm not a big fan of is trading in this area right here, right now. Because this thing could just chop back and forth and back and forth. I mean, we could even do this. We could include that inside of here. That rules out you getting anything on the upside, potentially. So let's keep it at this. Okay? because that covers the last couple hours. So, no, Robert, a person could trade a breakout of this. I'm not drawing this for the purpose of, well, let me rephrase that. I think this area, it could chop along in here all afternoon. And so, just as it looks like it's going to go short, it does this. See, we had this pullback here and the drop. Typically, on this time frame and on this setup, we would get a pretty fair drop, but we didn't. We flipped right back around. So there, you know, if it does take off out of the top here, if it breaks this swing high, or even more importantly, this swing high, then there, David did say that if it closes above 51, I think he said he would consider that an inversion, and that could bring substantially higher prices. We've been talking all day about the fact that if the Dow could close up 210 points, it would be the largest single weekly point gain in the history of the Dow. Got to be somebody out there willing to buy a few things to try to make that happen. You know? Unfortunately, I won't be here to watch it happen if it does, because I've got to go take care of a couple things. So, you might just make a note of these numbers. 46 on the downside, and 52 to 50, you know, 5 on the upside. You know, look for a break above 55 or a break below 46 to know that the market is attempting to do something other than chop around. Okay? Because this thing could just swing back and forth and back and forth. And you know what? Two ticks outside and then right back in, you're in the same mess. Now, not to say that you can't trade from the top to the bottom, or the bottom to the top, or the middle to the bottom, or the middle to the top, as long as you're aware that that's what you're dealing with. Okay? That as long as you stay inside of this area, you're not looking for any big move, you're just taking a little here and a little there. Or you can just start your weekend early. You have my permission. That's what I'm going to do. Now, it is the weekend, so I encourage you to spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in, whoever you are, wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.